Bibles, Isaiah chapter 6. Yesterday morning we gave our first part of our message on devotion, and we want to continue the thoughts on our devotion to the Lord. And what we're talking about with devotion is we're talking about just our personal relationship with the Lord, and our devotion extends, you know, further than 15 or 20 or even 30 minutes in the morning. Now, that's definitely a part of it, and we need that, but it extends beyond that. It goes throughout our whole day, our personal walk with the Lord, and having that communication between us and the Lord throughout the whole day. We need that, our devotion to Christ. And we don't just have a devotion time, and then we, you know, set it off to the side, and, well, we've done that today, and now we can go about our own day. That's not what a devotion time is about. It's just, you may have a devotion time to where you may call it that, and you may have, you know, some time in the morning to read and to pray. But you know, you don't leave it there. You know, you take it with you, and you seek to walk with the Lord the whole day long. And that's what this is about. In our first message yesterday morning, we talked about three aspects of our personal devotion to the Lord. We spoke about meditation, first of all, and how that involves listening to the Lord and learning to mutter and memorize God's Word. And in doing such, we find revival, we find wisdom, and it increases our faith. Secondly, we mentioned confession. We stated that confession is very vital because we will never prosper without it, and we will never walk close to the Lord without confessing our sins. Thirdly, we mentioned adoration and how that involved reverence, contemplation, and worship of our Lord in our devotion. And we also took note that we weren't just giving a 1-2-3 method. You know, this isn't, you know, well, I did this, checklist, 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 and, you know, I did my duty, and so now everything's okay, and we put, you know, God on the back burner, and then we're done for the day. But we don't look at it like that whatsoever. But we also need to realize that in all of these things, we're looking at five major headings: meditation, confession, adoration yesterday, and today we're looking at submission and petition. And that, you know, we don't necessarily exercise each of these all at the same time, though they might be somewhat intermingled. We're just trying to divide them up a little bit to give some description about our devotion to the Lord. But there may be times in which, you know, the bigger part of our day is just adoration. We're just worshiping the Lord. And there may be one day where a big part of it is just petition. You know, we're just really praying all day long. And so we're going to talk about that. Now, I want to look at the fourth and fifth part of our devotion to the Lord, which is going to be submission and petition. But let's start with a reading of Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Let's pray. God, we ask that You would just bless the Word this morning. Help me, Lord, as I continue the thoughts on our devotion to You. I pray to be a blessing to Your people. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would just work mightily in our presence this morning. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be touched, and Lord, that we would be instructed in our devotion to You, and Lord, that we would seek, Lord, to be sure that we have each of these aspects of devotion in our life. And Lord, it's not just about praying, it's not just about singing, Lord, it's about submission, and it's about the other things that we'll mention, and about confession, and all of those things. And so, Lord, just help us to have a proper walk before You, Lord, and that we're truly walking and communing with You, our great God. Lord, I pray that as a result of these lessons on devotion, that those that are here that don't know You, Lord, that it might help them in a sense that it might show them, Lord, that they don't have a personal relationship with You in Your Word. Lord, I believe You can use this message in that way to show them that they're not walking with the Lord, that they don't have a concern for His Word and communion with Christ and walking with Him through the day, but it would show them that they are distanced from the Lord. It would show them that they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and that they need it. And so, Father, I pray that You use this message in that fashion to the lost that are here to show them that they are disconnected with You and there is no union with You. And they might see that Christ is the only way to unite them to You. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Let's go ahead and get to the next aspect of our devotion, our walk with the Lord, and that is submission. Now, just as I had referred to either yesterday morning or last night, I can't remember now, just as we referred to the aspect over in Revelations, how that when Christ is truly being exalted, that we will seek to want to give Him our all. When the Lord has been exalted in our life, we will want to give Him our all. And that's exactly what we see with Isaiah here in Isaiah chapter 6. We see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up here. And we see Him lifted up there in verse 1. He's seen the Lord high and lifted up. We see the seraphims worshiping the Almighty, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory." And then we see in verse 5, Isaiah having revealed unto him his sinful condition. And so we see, you know, just as we stated, when you get really intimate with God, you get really close to God, more things come out in your life, don't they? You begin to see some things. And that's why sometimes we don't want to walk in the light, because it reveals our darkness. That's why we don't want to get in the Word, is because it shows where we're dark. And that's why we don't want to go to church sometimes, because the Word of God will show us our need and show us some sin in our life, and it reveals it unto us. And so we don't want to get close sometimes. We don't want to see. We don't want to have our eyes open to that. But you know, Isaiah is willing to see that. Isaiah sees the Lord lifted up. And as the Lord is lifted up in our devotions, and we bask in the adoration and the praise of the Almighty, as we mentioned previously, I tell you, you will begin to see some things. You'll see, oh, I need to turn from this. This isn't right. As you dwell in the light, your darkness is made manifest. And so we see this with Isaiah as he's in the presence of the Almighty. We see that his sin is revealed unto him. He confesses. He confesses and he wants cleansed, and the Lord cleanses him. We see symbolically there his him being cleansed as in verse 6, when one of the seraphims unto him having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." You know, you're never really going to be used of the Lord until you have that. You know, you have that cleansing in salvation. But also, as well as a child of God in our service to the Lord, until we have that confession, we really can't be used of God. But notice next what happens to Isaiah. We see that he becomes yielded unto God. You know, I love the spirit of submission in Isaiah that we see here. And we find the Lord says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Isaiah doesn't ask any questions. "Well, where do you want us to go?" You know, there's a lot of people who are willing to do if they know all the stipulations. You know, the servant's heart, the submissive heart, just says, "Whatever needs to be done." You know, I like it when people have that kind of attitude. A lot of people say, "Well, preacher, I want to do whatever I can, but I won't do that." You know, and a submissive heart is what we need. And we need a spirit of submission, and we need to bask in the presence of God until we know we are ready to be submissive unto the Lord in all things. We will never do much for the Lord when we don't seek God's forgiveness and we live in defeat. See that submission in Isaiah when he says, "Here am I, send me." Now Isaiah is ready to go and do whatever God would have him to do. So I believe that in our devotion, we need to seek to exalt Christ in praise and adoration and confess our sins as we dwell in His light. And I believe that God will work that spirit of submission within us to say, God, whatever You want, that's what I want to do. I know that I am in tune with the Lord when I'm worshiping Him and exalting Him and just saying, Lord, whatever You want me to do, that's what I want to do. We want to have our devotion sometimes and then go our own way and do our own thing, don't we? I just really wonder, you know, how close we walked with the Lord. How close were we really in our devotion? If when we left, we just did our own thing and didn't take consideration, you know, Lord, whatever You want me to do. Lord, where You want me to go. You see, I believe that's part of the climax of our devotion that we need to want to get to is we come to the place in our life where we say, Lord, whatever it is You want me to do today, whatever Your will is, not mine. And we have that spirit of submission. We're not asking questions. We're just saying, Lord, whatever You want. And we come to that place in our devotion to where we're saying, God, what You want me to do is fine. And we're not telling God what we want to do for Him. Lord, I'm going to do this for You. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But we're saying, Lord, what do You want? And when we're asking God what He wants us to do. Now, I believe we see this same principle in Romans chapter 11. Turn there if you would. Romans chapter 11. If your cell phone went off by accident, don't feel too bad about it. I mean, you can turn it off, but that happened to me one time while I was preaching. My own phone went off. And it was my mother. And so, that happens. Sometimes we forget, so don't be too embarrassed. And I was starting to preach, my phone rang. I had to do something about it, you know. Matter of fact, while I was praying a little while ago, I reached out and turned mine off, and because I remembered that it was on. And so, Romans chapter 11. Start with verse 31, okay? Romans 11, verse 31. Even so have these also now not believed, and through Your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. See the exaltation of God there? Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Who's going to tell God what to do? What He's saying. Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Who has actually given anything to God that wasn't first given to Him of God? Verse 36, for of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I love that. Let's not miss that part before we get to chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You know, we look at chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and I know we look at it quite often. I believe most preachers probably refer to it quite often and encouraging and challenging people to give their all to the Lord. And but let's not miss those last few verses right there in chapter 11. Because that's the motivation. And we see that in chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He just talked about the mercies of God, and it started in verse 31. Talked about how they obtained mercy of the Lord through their unbelief. And so upon this premises, upon the mercy of God in your life, upon how great God is, upon how wonderful God is, and how that God is that we get everything of God, everything's through God, everything ought to be to God, and everything is to be to God's glory. Upon this, I beseech you, give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable because God is great. God is good. God has had mercy upon us. His knowledge is wonderful. He's unsearchable in all of His judgments. His ways are past finding out. Everything is to Him and to His glory. So therefore, give your lives a living sacrifice to God. You see, that's what He's saying. I love that. Let's not miss those last few verses in that. And that's why he's able to say, it's, you know, do not be conformed to this world, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we tell people, you need to know what's right. You need to know what's right. And we need to tell them that. But here's why you need to know what's right. Here's why you need to be seeking God. Here's why you need to give your lives. Here's why you need to give your bodies. Here's why you need to give your minds. Here's why don't be conformed to this world. God is your Lord. He's your Savior. He's the awesome God, the merciful God. He's the rich God that's bestowed upon us wisdom and knowledge. And in Him and through Him and to Him is all things. To Him be glory. So give Him your all. Give Him your life. I beseech you, therefore. You know, it's wonderful in our devotions whenever we reach that climax, isn't it? You know, when you're in tune with the Lord and it's like, God, whatever you want. I remember the Lord had to work with me the spirit of submission over something one time. I don't know if I've shared this with you or not. I know I have. I think I had with Brother Wayne a few years back. But when I was living in Illinois, I thought God wanted me to go to Africa. Oh man, it was awful. I'm not kidding. I mean, I struggled. I'm not kidding. I bet I struggled for close to a year. I thought, man, I don't want to go to Africa, Lord. And I mean, I just did not want to go. And I mean, I struggled and I fought. And I wasn't going, I just know God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do that. I had all kinds of reasons why God wouldn't do that. I mean, I had a lot more reasons why He wouldn't than He could. I mean, a guy from Kentucky sounding the way I sounded going to Africa, I mean, that just doesn't sound right. And it's bad enough in northern Ohio. But you know, I struggled. I fought it. I mean, I got miserable. I say I broke one day. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go." I mean, I just so totally submitted to God, and I said, "Okay, wherever you want." Then you know what I found out? He didn't want me to go. Well, I wish I'd done that long beforehand. I'd have been a whole lot happier for a long time. But you know what? The Lord brought to me. The Lord brought to me right immediately. The Lord brought to me the story of Abraham. God told him, you go give your son. And Abraham was willing to give his own son. He went up there and you know what? God didn't want a son, did he? You know, he wanted Abraham. Amen. Did he want Abraham's son or did he want Abraham? He wanted Abraham. God wanted me. And boy, I am so glad he didn't want me to go. But you know what? I was willing. God had to do that within me. It was a spirit of submission that God was working in my life to do and to go wherever God wanted. Now, it was interesting. It was right after that we started our Africa ministry, if I have my timeline right. And, you know, God did lead me to do that. And so, you know, I was glad. God somewhat gave me a burden for it. And so, you know, we was able to do that. And so the Lord used that. But you know what? The spirit of submission. And you know what? We need that. And I think God brings things in and out of our life. And you know what? It's not as much about what God does through us and how He uses us sometimes as it is that what God's trying to do to us. You know, we're all the time thinking, well, how's God going to use me? How's God going to use me? Maybe God just needs to work on you for a while. And maybe He's doing that so that He might be able to use you. And that's exactly what happened to Isaiah. He worked within him that spirit of submission. And when Christ is truly exalted, that will happen. Let's go to the next part of our devotion. We're just now getting into prayer. I mean, a lot of times we think about our devotion time. That's what we think about, just prayer a lot of times. But you know, we haven't said a whole lot about prayer. We've mentioned four other things so far. But this is really prayer. I mean, really talking to God. You know, a lot of people think they're communicating to God because they pray all the time. I don't know how many times that you talk to people and about their relationship to God, and they say, "Oh, me and God, we're like that. I talk to God all the time." And And you can always tell, you know, those kind of people. And I'd say, "Really? So you talk to the Lord all the time?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Do you ever read your Bible?" No. You know what, preacher? I never do read. And I tell every one of them the same thing. Well, it sounds like you're trying to talk to God, but He's not talking to you. You know, that's the kind of relationship a lot of people want to have with God. They want to have that one-sided relationship where they're getting to talk to God, tell God what they want, tell God what they desire, and all these things. But I don't want to hear what God has to say to me. You know, listen, you're not talking to God. I mean, what kind of communication is that where you're just doing all the talking? I mean, what kind of relationship is that if you're the one only doing all the talking? You go out or something with your wife and she's doing all the talking, and you know, and you're not talking any. I mean, what kind of communication is that?
I mean, is she going to go away and say, that was such a fun time. I did all the talking. And he didn't say anything, you know, or vice versa. I mean, if it, to have good communication, I mean, she talks to you and you talk to her. You have a good relationship. I mean, everybody knows that to have a good relationship, there's got to be communication. And it's going to have to be you talking to God and not God talking to you. You know, mainly what we talked about is really about God talking to us a lot. And us as well, communicating to the Lord. It goes both ways. But very specifically, let's talk about our prayer. There's five elements necessary to fully experience a good prayer in our life, petitionary prayer. Petition is the offering of our request to God. You know, it's a sad spiritual state that the child of God is in when this is always the bulk of his devotion. Now, there might be days where mainly it's petitionary prayer. I mean, you're just constantly asking God for something. I mean, there's needs and there's things upon you. But you know what? Whenever this occupies most of your time each and every day, you got a problem. I think there's a spiritual problem there. You say, well, preacher, don't you think we ought to be asking God for things? Well, sure, that's what I'm talking about. But you know what? You need to be adoring God as well. You need to be in the Word of God as well, and the Word of God needs to be in you as well. You know, you need to be praying to God to work in your life and make you submissive, and you want to do what God wants you to do, not just asking God for things, not just praying about things for God for do. You know, I don't think God minds us asking things and requesting things. But you know what? Any of us would have to admit that people, the only time they ever come talk to us is when they want something. You know, that kind of gets under the skin, doesn't it? I mean, they never have anything to say. No time their phone ever rings, you know, they want something. You know, they never want to just communicate, never want to talk, see how you're doing, you know, encourage you or anything. Nothing like that ever. That's always, you know, I want something. You know, that gets old, you know. You know, I think that God is much like us in that respect. I think that would get real old, you know. That's the only time we ever want to pray is when we want something. So, you know, don't let that be your constant devotion. Well, I talk to God all the time. I'm all the time telling God what I want. You know, what kind of a devotion is that? What kind of communication is that? I think we ought to experience some joys, you know, in our petitions and our devotion to the Lord and seeing God answer prayers and all of those things. But it is not to be that explicit. It's entirely so far as our petitions. I want to notice five elements of petitionary prayer. First of all, there is what we may call inspirited prayer. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, you know, that's being led by the Spirit of God in your prayer life. And listen, you really need to be in the Word of God to be led by the Spirit of God in your prayer life. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Listen, I don't think you can pray in the Spirit without having, first of all, being saved. You're born again in the Spirit of God. But also, to be in the Word of God. Jesus said, if my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You see, we get in the Word of God, and the Word of God shapes us and molds us to our minds and our hearts and our desires. And then as we pray in accordance to the will of God, the Word of God, God always answers that. I believe that praying in the Spirit is part of that. But there is also a spiritual element in which we're praying to God and we're communing with the Lord, our spirit, with His Spirit. We see that in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Have you ever been in that kind of devotion to the Lord where you're just pouring your heart out to the Lord and then all of a sudden you have no words? Or you don't have anything to say? I mean, you don't know what to say. You don't have the words for it. But you lay there before God in silence. And your heart is struggling. And your heart is aching. And yet you know that God is hearing you. And you sense the presence of God. You sense the comforting of the Holy Spirit of God. And you haven't said anything. That's inspirited prayer. That's what he's talking about. When the Spirit of God is communicating with us to heaven and through us, and then we sense that God is there, He's answering our prayers, and we don't even know what we prayed. I don't understand that. You know, it's from the heart. The heart has burdens and the heart has desires that sometimes you can't put into words. And you don't even know what to pray because you don't even know what's right. You don't even know what's best. And so you can't word it. You just say, Lord, whatever. And God answers. And God comforts you. That's great, isn't it? Hughes said, the indwelling Holy Spirit, through His superior intimate knowledge, both prays for us and joins us in our praying, infusing His prayers into ours so that we pray in the Spirit. Jude 20 says, But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Lord speaks to us by His Spirit and in His Word and conveys His mind to us. And so much because of such, we think God's thoughts after Him. In other words, God molds our minds to pray as we ought to pray. His desires becomes our desires. His motives becomes our motives. John Bunyan stated, he says, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised or according to the Word of God for the good of the church with submission in faith to the will of God. Secondly, there is continual prayer. And you know, again, this devotion to Christ is not a 15, 20, 30 minute devotion. I did my duty, and so now I can go on. Acts 2:42 states, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, Pray without ceasing. That means don't stop. The prayer called for here is not so much as keeping words going up into heaven as it is dealing with the posture of the heart. You know, you may not be actually saying anything to God, but prayer is a posture of the heart. It's a spirit that we walk in. Prayer is not a continual flow of words. It's also the attitude of our hearts unto the Lord. Thomas Kelly said it like this. He said, There is a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. On one level, we can be thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating, meeting all the demands of external affairs, but deep within, behind the scenes, at a profounder level, we may also be in prayer and adoration, song and worship, and a gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. I wish I'd have said that. I hope I say something really good one of these days. You know, I'm dead and gone. You know, somebody says, Billy Holbrook said, I wish I could say something smart like that. But, you know, that's good. I mean, because we do that, don't we? I mean, you can do that. You can have such a walk with God that you know, you're doing your work. I know you can. I mean, and work that you really have to think about. I mean, when you're doing electrical work, you really need to be thinking about your electrical work. I mean, believe me, I mean, I've been times where I've done electrical work and not been thinking about electrical work and got zapped. I got shocked 3 times in one day one time. And, you know, I got tired of that. And, you know, I really did. I mean, you really got to pay attention. But I didn't realize you can actually do intense work and you can do the things that involve your mind. And at the same time, I don't know what you want to call it, in the recesses of your heart, There's that attitude of submission to the Lord, attitude of worship to the Lord. You're just enjoying Him, you're praying, you're talking to the Lord, and at the same time, you know, you're doing your work. See, don't compartmentalize your life.
Amen.
It's like we talked about last night, your work. Well, I did the work, now I go home. No, you serve the Lord all day long. Continually. Third aspect of a petitionary prayer is varied prayer, learning to pray about everything. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, And everything by prayer. Let's look at that. We'll turn there. We haven't turned to one in a while. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says this, Be careful for nothing. So don't be anxious. That's what that word means. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything by prayer. Varied prayer comes from a result of understanding that everything is worth praying about. And you cannot realize that everything is worth praying about unless you realize two things. Unless you realize two things. One is this, that no matter how small the thing may be, we need the strength of the Lord. And two, God cares about everything. When you can realize that everything, you need the strength of the Lord, and two, God cares about everything, we will learn to pray about everything. Now, but the reason we don't pray about everything is either we are dependent on our own strength, or we don't think God cares about those little things. You know, God does care about those little things. And I probably said this story before here, I don't know, but one time, many years ago, we were in West Virginia, and Troy McGahan was there, and we were putting together, I don't know if I told you this story. Well, I've been in the ministry 16 years, and I don't know what stories I've told where. you know, we were up there, and we were putting together something for Will. He wasn't born yet, one of them entertainment things kind of for the nursery. And everything was going fine. Everything was going great. We were putting it together and everything. I mean, all you got to do is read the directions, you know. That's what I do. I do read the directions, Cecil. I do, because I don't know how to operate any other way. And I just read the directions, and everything's going great. And we take a little break here. Had a little drink and a snack, and Tracy had us fixed. And Troy asked Troy to pray and give thanks. And we were just standing there. And he said, Lord, please help us to get this thing together. I laughed while he was praying. To me, it was funny. I mean, it was really simple, you know, what we were doing. I mean, why pray about it? Isn't that wicked? That's what I did. I mean, I didn't mean to. I chuckled. It was funny. But, I mean, I didn't think it was that hard. I'm not kidding. As soon as we got done, I couldn't get that thing together for nothing. I mean, it was awful. It taught me a good lesson. It really did. And never have Troy help you. He don't know what he's doing. No, it really taught me a good lesson to pray about everything. And you know, that was really good for me. And my wife's been good for me in that, because she prays about everything. I mean, she really does. I mean, that's amazing to me, the things she prays about. I mean, Walmart's lost hundreds of dollars to her prayers. They really have. She'll go in there and she'll want something and she'll literally pray over it. And it'll go on clearance. I mean, they've lost a ton of money. But, you know, I mean, she prays about those kind of things. I don't even think about praying about sometimes. But, you know, we need to learn to pray about everything. You know, God cares about everything. You know, the scripture verse, I don't have the reference right here in front of me, that talks about, you know, that not a hair of your head shall fall to the ground. You know, it isn't talking about the knowledge of God. It says not a hair of your head shall fall to the ground without your Heavenly Father. It doesn't say without Him knowing about it. We know we use that passage talking about, well, God knows everything. God knows the numbers of the hairs of your head. It says it shall not fall to the ground without your Father. Because the context is about the sparrow shall not fall to the ground without your Father. It doesn't say without Him knowing about it. Without Him. In other words, He's there. He's there. He's there with every hair of head that falls to the ground. He's right there with us. He's been with some of us quite a bit, hasn't he? I'm not saying any names. He's getting closer to me. He's getting closer to me because it's happening. It really is. I've just learned to try to enjoy it. Varied prayer. Learning to pray about everything because you know that God cares. You know, when the disciples, the storm came and they got bothered. And what did they come? There's three different things that were stated. There's a reason, because three different things were said when you look up the different Gospels. But one of the things that were said, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They didn't ask God to do anything. They didn't ask Jesus in that context to do anything. Why? Because they didn't think He cared. You know, we don't pray about things sometimes, but we just don't think He cares. We need to learn that God cares about every aspect of our life. You know, and if we're going to love our children, no matter how small it is that's going on in their life, we need to listen to them, don't we? Oh yeah, it may seem insignificant to you in some respects, but it shouldn't be insignificant to you. Because they're your kids and you care about them. And if it's significant to them, it bothers them, it's on their heart, it's in their life, it should matter to you. It should matter to you. Then fourthly, there's persistent prayer. Turn to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. I love the picture here. Exodus 17, read verse 10 through 13. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. What a picture of persistent prayer and reliance upon God. The lifting up of his hands was symbolic of their relying upon the Lord for the victory. It was symbolic of their persistence and of their continual waiting upon God for the victory they needed to overcome Amalek. So long as the hands were up, they prevailed. We see this persistent prayer in Luke 18 of the widow that came before the unjust judge. And we'll turn there and just make a reference to it. We won't read the whole thing there, but the lady comes before the unjust judge with a request. And he answers their request because she just continually came to him. He says in verse 5, "Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" And walking in faith, the just shall live by faith. So the just ought to be praying persistently to the Lord. I love what Jesus said in Matthew 7:7. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." The word "ask" implies requesting assistance. The word "seek" involves asking but adds action. The idea is not just to express need, but to get up and look around for the help. And "knock" implies asking, seeking, plus persevering as one who keeps knocking on a closed door. You see, so there's many things that are found in it, but it implies persistence. You ask, it's a request, it's seek, you're actually getting up and looking around, and "knock," you're being persistent in your prayers. Keep on praying. And then fifthly and lastly, we'll get through this last one, there's intercessory prayer. We're told and taught to pray for all the saints. I can't remember, I didn't write this reference down, but I think it was Samuel who told somebody, he said, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." You know, God wants us to pray for one another. We ought to pray for the saints. They have a large place in our prayers. Because we love the saints of God, we ought to pray for them. Paul was constantly asking others to pray for him. I believe that was showing his reliance upon the Lord. His reliance upon God to help him. And so he asked people to pray for him. It's not selfish to ask others to pray for you, but rather exhibits a dependence upon your God. Now, Christ exhibited great love for us by giving His life for ours, and I believe we can see how much we truly love others when we take a glance at the nature of our prayers. Are they more about self-preservation, or are they about other people? How much of your prayer life is for others? God bless me, God help me, God strengthen me. Anything wrong with those? No. No, we need that dependence upon God. But how much of your prayer is about other people, their needs, looking outside of yourself and learning to pray for somebody else? You know, I've said this for years, but if we just stop and think about it, if we'd all learn to pray for one another, how much greater it would be. If we're all praying for ourselves, we got one person praying for us. But if all of us are praying for each other, now we've opened the door. A lot of people praying for you. A lot of people praying for me. And we need to learn to pray for
for one another, not be selfish in our prayers.
May the Lord help us to experience all the different aspects of our devotion to Him and our walk with Him. We need every one of these that we've mentioned in these two lessons. We need the meditation, the confession, the adoration we mentioned in our last message, and then submission and petition. Are we truly experiencing each of these in our walk with Christ, in our devotion? It's on devotion. It's not about that 15, 30 minutes. It's about your everyday walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that You would bless the message this hour. Father, I ask that You would just help us, Lord, to truly walk with You. Help us to have a submissive spirit. And help us learn to pray about things and bring our requests to You and all the different things we mentioned this morning. Bless these fine people, Lord, and may we truly, each and every day, Lord, truly walk with You. And draw us close to You, Lord, as a result of the Word of God and the things that were taught here this week. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. And Brother Wayne.